The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, guys, welcome in to a special edition of Coffee and Chell. In fact, I don't even know what we're going to call this after today, but we're going to try something new as I'm joined by not my normal co-host, Kesso. He is with his wife at the hospital. They just had their baby girl, so congratulations to my man Kesso. But hockey rolls on, Chell rolls on, but today we're not going to talk a lot about show. We're going to talk about the real thing. We're going to talk about hockey. And I brought the most knowledgeable person I know in that sense, my man Padre. Welcome aboard, dude. You fired up? Make your debut.
Oh, I'm fired up. Yeah, we got a little bedhead over here with no sleeves. Look at that. Look at that hair right now.
Bro, I was going to put a hat on. I'm like, nah, dude, this is fat.
I love it. Just let it go. You got to let it go.
All right, so for anyone that doesn't know who Padre is, he was actually the St. Louis Blues emergency backup goalie for what, like 4 years, 5 years?
Yeah, since 2017, and then I've been skating with the guys since the last lockout, the one that actually took out half the season. So since like 2012 or 11, yeah.
We're gonna do a lot of name dropping on the pod as my man.
Yeah,
my man Padre is definitely well versed with a lot of the players in the NHL. So a St. Louis Blues fan, obviously. But today we are going to do our first of four division previews for the upcoming NHL season. We're going to talk about real-life hockey on this podcast. And don't worry, Coffee and Chell is still going to be there when we talk about the new stuff with the video game because, well, there's a lot to talk about. We're going to wait for that. We'll bring Kesso in on that one as well. So, all right. First up, we're going to do, again, a breakdown of everyone in the Pacific Division. We're going to do my division, my Sharks. All right, we're going to do the Pacific Division. We're going to go through what we think of the offseason moves and the projections for each of the team and how we think the playoffs for the Pacific Division will shake out. So let's start with the Anaheim Ducks, Padre. Walk me through their additions and subtractions and what you think on the Ducks for the season.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest addition, obviously, we got to go Klingberg. And John Klingberg, I don't think anybody expected him to get a one-year deal. A lot of people were thinking he was going to get upwards to a seven-year deal. Obviously, during the season, you saw a lot of stuff with him with trade rumors with Dallas. And nothing ever came to fruition, and you know he stayed there. And I think that's a really solid addition. I think, obviously, he's going to try and you know get the bag this season and just you know run their power play and whatnot. And you know, it's a little bit of a different power play setup this year because they used to have Getzlaff up top kind of quarterback in the thing, which is a little odd having a centerman up there, but he was such a good passer. I mean, you've seen him for all those years in the Pacific Division. I mean, the guy would have like 10 goals and 90 assists. I mean, the guy was a stud. Like losing Getzlaff and being able to slide in Ryan Strome, and they also slide in Frank Vetrano, I thought that was a solid addition. I mean, Vetrano was, I don't know about you, but in the playoffs, he was like one of those players. And I was like, man, I kind of like to have him on my team.
Yeah, classic playoff guy that's like just like super, super good to have during the playoffs. The thing about Klingberg that's so stunning, definitely obviously is betting on himself, the one-year deal. But I think what's more stunning is that why Anaheim went after him so hard for that. Or maybe they didn't really go after him hard, just maybe he wasn't getting the offers that he thought he would get, and Anaheim just offered maybe the best scenario for him. But I think this is definitely like a scenario thing for Klingberg. He's definitely going to get all of the opportunity to put as many points up that he can before, like you said, he goes and tries to secure the bag this offseason. What are the odds he is on Anaheim at the end of the season?
See, and listen to our boys. We'll be referencing them a lot, but it's Jeff. Me and Sleazy love Jeff Merrick, and we love Elliot Friedman, and we'd like to get him on here eventually. I think it's a real possibility. It's got to be the right time, I would say, for it. But we'll get them on eventually. I think they'll come on here. And the thing is, they both kind of said the same thing about him signing there, and I agree with this. Like, I mean, if they stink or if they're just average, they'll just ship them out at the deadline. They'll get a first round pick and. Yep. Thanks for coming, and hope you enjoyed California. But like, I think there is like a little bit of a sneaky possibility with Shattenkirk coming off the books this year, and he's kind of similar to Shattenkirk. He's obviously younger. He's a better skater. But I'm saying like the type of defenseman he is, like offensive defenseman. I could see them signing him long term, especially like losing Manson. There was some rumors that like Manson might go back there this summer, and he ended up just staying in Colorado, which I was kind of surprised by, to be honest with you. But I guess when they lost Kadri, they had the money to do that. So I don't know. I think you're going to see like just a fusion of like youth again with that team. I think they're hoping that Comtois comes back, you know, and does something, because he didn't do anything last year really. And obviously our boy, NHL cover boy, Trevor Zegras, I think he had a great year last year. And I think Mason Matavish, obviously all you Canadians up there, you guys know exactly what you're getting with him. And I think he's going to be a thorn in the side of the Sharks in the next 10 years. Like, I think that's the type of player that you're like, man, I wish we had a guy like him. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a beast.
We're going to talk about how sad I am about the state of the Pacific Division, because the Ducks and Kings are just going to dominate the Sharks in the next decade. But man, I'm not going to lie, so early and super not fair to super make this early. Comparison, but Zegras and Matavish remind me of like the North American Zetterberg Datsyuk, just like the trajectory so far. Like, that's what it reminds me of. Cause I don't know if Zegras will ever be like a 100-point player, right? But clearly every time he has the puck, he's just like, I'll create time and space myself. Like, he has no leash with that. Like, he just wants to just put on a show all the time. A lot of like what Datsyuk did, just create space himself. And yeah, Matavish I remember when Matavish got drafted and it was like a reach. Like, it was, you know, like it was like seen as a little bit of a reach there. But man, that's why the scouts are the scouts, because yeah, he looks absolutely incredible. Other guys up front. So the Strome signing was also a really good, the 5 mil. Obviously those are the guys that like what happens on the Leafs, you know, like there's just all the other guys get signed. And then there's like those middle guys that are super important. Right. Man, that guy could not hit the net to save his life, though, in the playoffs, and just kind of like all the chances in the world, but could not bury in the playoffs. But yeah, I think Anaheim's forward core, they're very exciting. They also have the number 4 ranked prospect pool, just via Corey Pronman on The Athletic. So really high there, obviously head by Zegras and Matavish. But man, I watched Drysdale play against my Ice Dogs in his draft year before the pandemic. And when you watch like juniors, I think the thing that you can notice the most about an NHL prospect is when you have a defenseman in the OHL or juniors as a whole, they want the puck. A lot of defensemen will look to just immediately get rid of it. And every time Drysdale played the Ice Dogs, it was disgusting. It was just end to end. He's extremely fun. And I think with Klingberg there too, I don't think he has to play like those top line minutes, and be that guy, that right-handed guy that has to play, you know, 25 minutes a night. So young, I think they can be a little more careful with him, but, they are set up to be extremely good. They also had a pretty good draft. This year they got Nathan Gosher later in the draft in Montreal. I was there. Nathan Gosher was a huge fan favorite. I believe he played in the queue. That was a really, really good pick. I think that their Mitnikov seems to be a bit of a reach early on. But we'll wait and see. Obviously, you know, can't really fault them after that pick of Matavish. So, Anaheim looks great. Give me your thoughts. So they finished, 7th in the Pacific Division, 23rd overall last season in the league, right behind my Sharks. Where do you see them finishing this year, and what's your projection there?
I think they'll just miss the playoffs probably again, if I had to guess, just because I feel like losing like some veterans, you know, you're going to lose Getzlaf and stuff and Manson off your team. I know Manson like was gone at the deadline, but if you remember for the beginning of last year, they were like really good. Like it looked like they could possibly like, oh, maybe this is the year the Ducks like kind of get it going again. Mm-hmm. And they obviously ended up being like, I think they kind of pulled it off like before anybody else did, but they were like, you know, we're going to pull, you know, pull the shoot on it and we're going to trade everybody. But I don't know. I mean, let's see if Troy Terry can do anything close to that again. I'm not saying that he can't. I'm just saying it, there's a difference when you have a playmaker like Getsy passing you the puck like that. And then Max Jones, fellow NHL EA Sports player, he likes his shell. I've played a few times with him and Robert Thomas, and they don't really play the game. They just kind of run around and hit. But he's coming back off of a year-long injury, and Max Jones is a beast. Like, I could see him being one of those guys, like, down the road, if they get in the playoffs eventually, like next year or the year after, whatever. And he's one of those guys, a big body, that'll just be super effective in the playoffs. Like, it's always those big body guys that, you know what I mean, that just tear it up, it seems like, in the playoffs. But I think he's a dark horse for that kind of thing.
No, absolutely. I think that, I think Anaheim is probably a year or two away still. You know, we'll see if Gibson stays on the team. It's going to be very telling at the deadline this year. If they just go full rebuild, or if they think that the guys that they've gotten, like McTavish and Zegras, can propel it enough, quick enough, to kind of, you know, go for a little run while Gibson is still there. I still think it's far too early. The Pacific Division is still pretty wide open. I think it's not as bad as it was last year. Last year, it was by far the worst division, in my opinion.
I agree.
Exactly. Like, we'll talk about LA in a little bit, but LA was not a particularly great team, and they were able to win. They were able to get in. And then you have Vegas will be a playoff team this year. Like, that would be monumental if they weren't. And then we've got, you know,
it'd be more embarrassing if they weren't this year. Like, people freaked out last year about it. And I'm like, dude, if you look at the man games lost, like, it's like, what are you going to do? And one thing I will say, like, kind of what you were saying about Anaheim too, is I know John Gibson, like, he's a stud. Like, he's really good. But the last 3 years, he hasn't surpassed the 905 save percentage. And I don't think people, I understand the team's not, it's a team sport, right? It's, it's a team defense, everything like that. I get the whole thing. But in years past, even on, like, worse teams, he's putting up, you know, 915 plus save percentages. So it's like, I've heard a lot of people say the same thing, kind of like, people are down on him. They're like down on him a little bit. Yeah. So
no, absolutely. But yeah, I'm going to say Anaheim misses this year. In all honesty, I think that they finish seventh in the Pacific again. I hope they do, because the team that they might be mine. But yeah, I think that they'll probably finish around six or seven in the Pacific Division. And the next, like, 2 years, I think, is where they can really make their mark. All right, so that was the Ducks. Let's talk about Seattle. Let's do Seattle. Obviously, last year, I would say it's really hard because, you know, expansion is going to be compared with Vegas. What we saw with Vegas was 20 or 30 other general managers that did not know and have an idea of how the expansion would go, and they were looking to trade, just get rid of Pitt. Like, Vegas's was the perfect storm. And I think the Kraken had expectations. People were like, oh, man, maybe it'll be a playoff team. It's like, the Kraken were, in my opinion, what I thought Vegas should have been, but other general managers kind of allowed them to not be. So let's talk about the Kraken a little bit, their first year. And it went kind of what I expected to be, extremely poorly. They have no top-end talent. A lot of players that would make the second line on some teams, but not all teams. A lot of middle guys on defense as well. Grubauer and Net, and really no prospect pool to speak of other than Matty Beniers, who did look like he actually belonged in the NHL when he got his cup of coffee at the end. So talk to me a little bit about the Kraken and what you expect there from them.
Yeah, and kind of going back to, like, the draft, it's, like, weird because I think any of us, we were like, okay, why are they not, and I'm not saying this because I'm a Blues fan, but it's like, why are you not taking Tarasenko?
Yep.
Why are you, you know, like, why are you, like, missing out on, in like, whether their contracts are crappy or not, but, like, Matthew Shane or Ryan Johansson, you're going to tell me right now if they didn't have one of those guys, like, they wouldn't look a little better, you know, especially down the middle before they got Shane Wright, before they, you know, got Matty Beniers and stuff like that, like, in the fold, it's like, they didn't really have a center. Their first line center last year was Jared McCann, and everybody was like, I mean, and anybody that plays the NHL video game was following him all year.
The best fantasy card, dude.
Yeah, the best fantasy card. So it's like, you know, and I know Kessa loves him because he's a former Penguin, but it's like, he kind of got like that, you know, oh, you see the next William Karlsson or, you know, like, whatever. So, you know, they didn't have like, I guess you want to say, like, a lot of it's luck too. I mean, Vegas was very... guys that came out of nowhere, you know, Alex Tuck, I'll be honest, like, I knew of him as like a first round. I didn't think he was going to be like a gazelle out on the ice. Like all of a sudden when he's out there, like that guy's a beast. Like they just had like, you know, and I think obviously rallying around like the tragedy and stuff like that in Vegas. I think that was a big thing from what I hear from a lot of guys. And I don't know. I don't know if there was as much like piss and vinegar, I guess, as you want to describe, like with Vegas as there was with Seattle. Cause the guys going to Seattle, like, I don't think they were like that mad about going there. And it's weird too, cause they just built their team a lot different. Like they signed Schwartz, they signed, and like they signed guys like that that really, you know, I don't remember like Adam Larson, like those kind of deals. Like I don't remember like Vegas signing guys really like to like multi-year deals, like Grubauer. That was out of nowhere. I thought for sure they were going to be going with like Driedger and I can't remember who the other goalie they signed at the time was. It might have been
Decord.
Was it Decord? I don't know. It might have been just him and Decord. Yeah, it was him and Decord. Yeah. And I was like, they're going to go with them or something. But then they ended up signing Grubauer, which I always said. And like, obviously, he's a way better goalie than me. But Grubauer, I never thought in a million years was like, as good as what he showed in Colorado. You know what I mean?
It's tough when you have a goaltender that, like, on an amazing team, it's, you know, there's goaltenders, obviously, that are, they're all very, very good, right? But, like, the Chris Osgoods, you know? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's tough when you get those big contracts for those guys. Because, he did not have a good year with Seattle.
Antti Niemi, your boy.
Yeah, Antti Niemi is a perfect example. Although he did save the Sharks from rocking Nitamaki.
Let's just say they're like above average. And you know what? I will say this. When Niemi won the cup, I mean, you still have to make the big saves. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think Kemper kind of proved that. Like, Kemper's another one I'd be kind of scared of.
Yep.
But I mean, we'll get on to that like later on when we talk about the next, you know, the Caps and stuff like that like in a few weeks. But I don't know. Basically, with the Kraken, they just got a lot of the same, I feel like. Like, they brought in Burakovsky. They brought in Bjorkstrand. Now
that
those
Bjorkstrand
guys will score.
Deal was see, that was what Vegas did during their expansion draft, where they were like, oh, there's a trade that just happened. This team is absolutely scuffed. They have no idea where to go. And they just absolutely fleeced Bjorkstrand.
They just have a lot of, like, second and third line talent, I feel like. And but we'll see, because if Shane Wright's as good as, you know, because you have those pissed off Montreal fans, and if he's as good as what they, you know, they were all crying about, acting like they all know, you know, he's the greatest player ever. You know, like, no one knows. Like, that's the thing about the draft. Like, we saw that. Like, if there's a reason why, like, what was it, three or four teams, like, they didn't take him? I mean, who knows? I mean, not saying he's not going to be, you know, amazing, but we'll see if he was the true first overall pick. But Matty Beniers, like, watching that kid play, you know, at Michigan, and then watching him play, like, even in, like, the Olympics, he was, like, another kid, like, Slafkovsky kind of, where I was like, dude, I know these aren't all NHLers at the Olympics, but those guys were dominating at the Olympics against other grown men that have played pro hockey. So I think the Kraken once again will miss the playoffs, unless like some like miracle kind of happens with like everything just falls in together and some guy scores 50 million goals like Carlson did that one year, and then their goalies play amazing. I mean, I just don't see it though. Again, like I guess it all kind of hinges on Beniers and Wright, honestly.
Yeah, I think this year is the first year you're going to have a lot of excitement because they actually have a prospect pool. I would definitely expect them to finish last in the Pacific Division again. And this is going to be a theme, I'm sure, but it is clear that some teams saw, you know, Connor Bedard, and they're like, we are going to do our due diligence to try and land Connor Bedard. And I wonder if at the expansion draft that was like, you know, we're not going to try and emulate Vegas at all. We are going to try and be bad and build through the draft. And I'm not going to, like, getting Beniers, I think that draft is going to be viewed as a little bit weaker. Or I think the Owen Power draft will have the most amount of insane gems that are found outside of the first round, because the OHL did not play. And that is the biggest feeder league in pro hockey. And it had the record amount of Americans because they played during COVID. So a lot of Americans got drafted. Not that they shouldn't have been, but there is a lot of, I bet you any money, there's going to be a lot of second to like sixth round OHL kids that just come out of nowhere. But they got Beniers, and I think that was really good. But Shane Wright, I hope, like, man, he just looks so slighted. And I got to meet him at the GWC. Awesome guy, and he looks like he has a chip on his shoulder because he didn't go first. And at first, before the draft process, I thought that was a bad thing, that like he like wants the ego of going first. But when he didn't, and he just looked mad about it, like, that, I love that, because, you know, like, I think that he is gonna do everything he can, and we'll see. And he wanted to play first line minutes, but he'll get his opportunity with Seattle, and I think it'll be a lot more exciting once Beniers got there. I think the excitement wore off from Seattle fans, because they obviously they're loving it right now. But outside of it, it was like, okay, it's cool. It's clearly not Vegas. We'll see them in 5 years, like we did with.
Dude, I was just gonna say that. When I would watch them, because I sit up like a loser and I'll stay up till like midnight, even when I have to work at 5 a.m. But it's like, I'll like watch them, and it's just not the same as when I watched Vegas. They're, like the Vegas, and I know I'm not like a Vegas fan, but I'd watch the games in the beginning of the first year, and I was almost like rooting for them because the place was just buzzing at puck drop. And once they dropped the puck, dude, they always would score in the first like 5 minutes. Vegas,
dude, don't remind me, dude. Don't remind me, dude.
And Seattle, when I would watch it, it was just kind of like, I mean, yeah, whatever. Like, yeah. I wasn't as excited. I don't know why. And yeah, I agree. Like, once Beniers got there, they're definitely like more exciting. There's curious to see how your boy Marty Jones does there. He's because he had to come in because Driedger got hurt.
Perfect signing, because if you want a team to do worse for Connor Bedard, signing Martin Jones is the number one thing that you can do. So, all right, so we're through Anaheim and Seattle. Those would be our 7 and 8 teams of the Pacific Division. Let's talk about my San Jose Sharks, okay? It has been a rough 3 years as a Sharks fan. I've been a Sharks fan for the last 20 or so years, and I was blessed with 16 of 17 years where they were in the playoffs. While they didn't win a cup, basically the regular season was just boring to me because it was just like, whatever. It's a lot like what Toronto fans are going through right now. And now, much different feel. I have no hope. The ownership has basically said we can't afford to do a complete teardown rebuild because, while they sold out for 10 straight years, they don't have the fan base to sell out and keep the team afloat, or what the owner wants to, through a teardown rebuild. So that means that they just have to ride out the remnants of the Marleau and Thornton era, and that's awfully ugly, you know? So last year was not good. I think that they are in the exact same situation they are now. Mike Greer comes in, completely new management. Well, I'm not going to lie. It wasn't really stated what's wrong with Doug Wilson. I know a lot of people will harp on Doug Wilson for giving out the Carlson contract and the Varkenberg Vlasic contract. That's just what happens when continually contend for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Eventually it'll catch up to you, just like it's doing in Chicago. There was no one I would trust more to do a rebuild than Doug Wilson, just for the sheer fact that A, he can't tear it down, and he is probably the biggest shoot your shot GM that we've ever had. We listened to Hockey Central quite a bit. We love Merrick and Friedman, and when Berkey was on there, he would talk about it all the time, that Doug Wilson was one of the first general managers to call about your star player, and he pulled off some of the biggest trades in the last 20 years.
Oh yeah.
And having someone like that, I think, is the perfect kind of guy to try and get through this, because you need someone that'll get extremely creative. Mike Greer, the problem I have with a new general manager is that I don't know how you would come up with an amazing strategy to figure out what to do with this team. So they added like 15 new guys. His first week as a general manager, he signed an entire new bottom six. And the issue with that is that for years, that's what Doug Wilson would do. But the problem was their top six was stacked. Now they're in a slightly better position than Anaheim in terms of forwards, just because Timo Meier looks like a legitimate first-line player. And Tomas Hertl is probably on the bottom end of a first-line player. But after that, they really don't have anyone that can be at the top of the lineup. Logan Couture, well, I think he's an amazing two-way center, is 30. Wow, I cannot believe he's 33 years old now. He is no longer going to push for a point per game or 80 points in a season. So he is a second line center, which is fine. But then after that, it's just completely devoid of NHL talent in terms of like their top six. So they sign Oscar Lindblom. Great story. Awesome to have him. I don't know how he's going to respond. Prior to his cancer diagnosis, he looked like he was going to be one of the better young players in the NHL with Philly. They signed Luke Kunin, who is a okay bottom six.
My boy.
Yeah.
That's my boy.
Bottom
he's
six.
He's from St. Louis. I skate with him in the summertime. Yeah. He's dude, I think you're going to really like him. I hope he sticks around long enough to where like you can see him in the playoffs because I think he'll thrive in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's got an absolute piss missile of a shot. He'll fight. He'll grind. He's just like one of those like I just think like with him and Lindblom, like last year especially, they were in roles where they couldn't flourish, I feel like. And whenever he, like Lindblom came back to Philly, they kind of like replaced his spot while he was gone. And I think like I think he's just in a better spot. It's kind of like Barabanov. Like you saw like what he did.
I love Barabanov. Yeah. Yeah. I think that the Leafs made a mistake with him. I know that Leafs fans will be like, well, he wasn't going to play in the top six, which is, this is a perfect example of what happened with Vegas. Barabanov is a perfect example. So there's probably 100 NHLers that if they got first line minutes would put up 50 to 60 to 80 points in a season, and that's what happened with Vegas. We'll talk about them in full later on. Barabanov was never going to make the top six with the Leafs, but once he was with the Sharks, he was just electric with the puck. Like one of the most creative guys when he had the puck, and I'm super glad that they signed him to a bit of an extension. So he's got another 2 years there. But
he looks sick wearing number 94.
It does look good. I do like I do love that number.
You don't see a lot of 94s anymore.
Outside of that, you've got Nick Bonino and Nico Sturm. Okay. Matt Nieto is a great penalty killer. And then it's a lot of prospects that I don't think are ready. But here's the one thing that does appear to be the case with Greer. So last year I got to see William Eklund, and I'm not going to lie. Again, bias aside, he played his 9 games. He looked like he fit. He did look small, but he was unbelievable with the puck. And he is probably the most exciting prospect that I've had as a Sharks fan ever since Tomáš Hertl. And even when Hertl came onto the scene, I wasn't excited for him to be in the lineup, but he made it exciting with like his 4-goal game and like that. Right. You know what I mean? It happened. William Eklund, I'm just excited for right off the rip. And there is a rumor that the entire prospect system for the Sharks is going to be in the AHL this year. Now, as a Sharks fan, because I really don't think they'll make the playoffs, I think that they have a better shot than Anaheim and Seattle, but everything would have to break right, and Reimer would have to play phenomenal. Erik Karlsson would have to stay healthy his whole season. We'll talk about Karlsson in a second.
LeBanc, what's his deal?
LeBanc, he took that 1-year deal when the Sharks with the Sharks when they had that their best team ever the year that they lost to St. Louis in the conference final. And I've never seen this before, maybe in sports, but he took a 1-year deal, which was stunning, at the time, but it looked like they had to, you know, make up for that and sign into like a 5-year deal, which was tough, but I don't know what they're going to do with him now, with the $5 million deal, but, we'll wait and see. I think that, he could return to some sort of his former self, but I think that now he's just someone that will not be a top six player. But it looks like in the AHL, what they're going to do is all of their prospects. And like I said, this is the most excited I've been about a prospect pool as a whole. So William Eklund, if you're redrafting the Owen Power draft, I honestly think that he goes 3 or 4. We'll see about Edvinson because he looks really good as well. But I think that when he fell, there was talks about him going first that year. Owen Power is clearly number one still, but can't wait to see him. But it looks like everyone is going to be in the AHL. So Bortolo, man, I am way too biased, but I have not seen a player come into the league as a fan of the Sharks and be that exciting at the end of last year. And I'm going to say this, that I think that this is my extremely hot, bold take from watching Bortolo over the last, the last little bit of the season and just how he played. And then the World Juniors, obviously disappointing finish, but he was one of the better players on Team USA. I think that he will end up being the second best Wolverine, which is an extremely hot take, as Kent Johnson and Matty Beniers are both there by Owen Power. But I don't know why. And I think that if he goes into the NHL and starts and he makes the team, I think that he can push for some Calder votes, but it looks like everyone is going to start in the AHL. And the Barracuda have been awful. They now have the best jerseys in potentially the entire league. if they're going to play their entire prospect pool in the AHL, that'll be the most exciting AHL team that's in the league. Like, you'll have Scott Reedy, you'll have Bortolo, William Eklund, and a lot of Brandon Coe, Tristan Robbins, who led the WHL in points Excited to see all of them. On defense, though, man, it is a mess. trading Burns, a lot of people were like, man, they give up Burns, didn't get anything. Getting rid of that contract is huge. Getting rid of one of those contracts is massive. I think that a lot of people forgot that he wasn't signed for 2 years. He was signed for three more years. And that is just way too much. So him being gone and getting rid of most of the contract, because they retained, I believe, 20% of it, 25% of it. But that was big. I think it's a huge plus for Carlson. Now, for anyone that does not watch Sharks games, and that's going to be a lot of you probably, when Carlson plays and he's not hurt, last year specifically, he was phenomenal. Like, I would say he was worth about $8 million, which I will take. I will take that version of Erik Karlsson. The problem is now is that he's just hurt all the time. However, there was seemed to be an issue where they could not figure out Burns and Karlsson on the power play. And now having...
From day one.
Yeah, and but that's literally. That's just how it's going to be. You have two right-handed... I think if one of them was left-handed, yeah. Man, that would have been one of the most exciting like defensive pairings ever. But because they're both right-handed, it really had an issue. But Karlsson is going to... It is now Karlsson's decor. And that's what happened in Ottawa, and that's where he succeeded. And maybe this will allow him to return a lot more value. The real issue isn't Karlsson, it's Mark Edward Vlasic. So Vlasic was one of, if not the best defensive defenseman in the NHL for a solid like 3 to 4 year span. I think when he made Team Canada, everyone went, what? Like who? That weren't Sharks fans. But that he kind of
was the greatest defensive hockey team ever too. Yep. In Sochi.
Yep. Mark Edward Vlasic, collected the bag, got $7 million. And I think the biggest drop off in hockey is, the power forward and defensive defenseman, because you offer no offense on defense. And when you're skating and defense starts to falter, when you've made the bag, basically scoring 15 to 20 points a season, you are not offering anything offensively, and for the last 3 or 4 years, he has been awful defensively, and he has 4 years at $7 million. There were some talks that he would get bought out this year. That cap hit would be Suter and Parise-esque in Minnesota, and because the Sharks have so many big contracts, they can't afford to take that buyout cap hit. However, next year, I would be stunned if he is still a Shark. I think that's when the buyout happens. $7 million for, he has basically been an AHL level defenseman in terms of his play. It has been sad to watch. Apparently after the COVID year, he came in and just was out of shape, and, he doesn't want to leave because he likes living there, which, is not good. So, that one's tough. Mario Ferraro is quickly becoming one of my favorite Sharks of all time. Dude leads the league in block shots and defenseman. The guy, might not have the best hands, but he has an insane motor, and he's going to be the captain of the Sharks eventually. And then it's a bunch of like Lindbloms and Kunins. It's like Radim Šimek. They signed.
I like Nudavara. Yeah, I like him. I think that, I watched him a lot with Columbus, and I like him. He's like steady. I think you'll like him. I really do.
It depends if he can come back from like injury and play like he used to. But I think that one is actually not a terrible one. They got Matt Benning for 4 years at 1.2.
I was surprised by that.
I don't know. And then Merkley.
What do you think of Merkley? I need to hear this because he was a hot topic when he got drafted because of all the stuff in juniors. Of like just being a little cocky kid, you know what I mean? But he ripped it up in juniors. I look at him a lot like Tony D'Angelo, just not with the you know, the racial, the political. You know, like whatever. I'm talking about like just like coming out of juniors, because like same kind of defenseman, right-handed defenseman, offensive. But like what with him last year, like what did you think of him last year, I guess, you know?
He dude, at the blue line, I'm not even gonna lie, like he is very Dan Boyle, Cale Makar at the blue line in the offensive zone, but that's where all similarities end. So like at the blue line, he head up, dangles any poacheck or any pressure, which has a ton of use, but defensively doesn't like to go into corners all that often. He's not very big. Yeah. So if you don't have like that, you know, that dog in you when you're a little bit of a smaller defenseman, you need someone to make up for it. And the left-hand side of the Sharks blue line is now just awful. Like it's Ferraro is locked with Karlsson. But after that, it's like Radim Šimek, who has not played in a while. Mark Edward Vlasic, who is now a defensive liability, and then Jacob Megna. So like there's no help. I think that, I don't know if he'll get his run because Quinn did not have the best reputation with handling younger players in the Rangers. Now, I think it's a little overblown because of the position that he's put in with the Rangers. Where he had to make the
Their
playoffs.
Owner's a little involved, if he, you know what I'm saying.
He had to make the playoffs, and he did not want to, you know, he had to make a playoffs. He didn't care about rookie development. I remember watching, so what I said about Jamie Drysdale, I remember watching Merkley, actually, when he was playing the Ice Dogs in the COVID year. Remember that Tucker Tynan injury? So I was at that game, and that was against the Knights at the time. And I remember the remake game I went to, and dude was just, they were winning like 7-1, scored a goal, jumped into the boards. Like I immediately could see why, but it's the same situation, just demanded the puck. And really, really good with that. I think that the Sharks had Carlson, Burns, and Merkley did not fit because it's another offensive right-handed defenseman. If there was one thing the Sharks had in abundance, it was offensive defenseman on the right side. But now no Burns. I hope he gets one more shot, Merkley, but I think this is it. Like, I think we'll see like Josh Hosang situation here, where like all the talent in the world doesn't seem to want to put it together. But and then in net, Aiden Hill experiment. He was hurt a lot, did not go as planned. James,
you played shell with him.
It did. I got to play. He is a really nice guy. Loves his war zone too. But no, I got to meet. He's a great guy and he's huge, but he's just hurt. James Reimer. The Sharks would have challenged for a top five pick this year if it wasn't for James Reimer, which hurts me because I want to see the Sharks do bad. I would, especially this year. If the Sharks land a Connor Bedard, bro, I would lose my mind. Reimer was phenomenal, and I think that he'll get traded because they have three goal. He signed like a million goaltenders. They brought back Aaron Dell. They have Kaapo Kähkönen, who I think will end up being the starter. He'll get a run. But I don't know. In terms of predictions for the Sharks, I know we went a little bit longer with the Sharks, but obviously we'll do the same thing with the Blues when we get to the Blues next week. But
they didn't do much, so we won't go that long.
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, I'll say this about the Sharks, though, real quick. They got the best-looking coach in the league. How about that?
They do have a great-looking coach and the best alternate jerseys in the NHL.
That is true. I always tell you that.
The teal, not the stealth. Those are god-awful, and they never win with them. Those are not it. The teal... with the silver old school ones. That is my, I have a Logan Couture jersey that I always wear on streaming and videos. That one is my favorite jersey. But I think that they finished sixth in the Pacific Division again, ahead of Anaheim and Seattle. My problem is I think that they are too good to finish bottom five in the league and too bad to make the playoffs, which is legitimately the worst place to be in professional sports. And ownership is just going to keep them there for a little while, but I think they're going to be worse no matter what they do. So, sixth in the division there. Let's move along to Vancouver. Let's be quick on Vancouver because I thought Vancouver would be a lot better than they were. They brought in that... I love Connor Garland. I know everyone's like, oh my God, the OEL trade is a Connor Garland trade. I love Connor Garland. He was a guy that's a player that you watch... play against your team and you notice, but if you don't watch, like, you know, if you didn't watch Connor Garland when he was with Coyote, you wouldn't know about him. I thought that was a great trade for them, but the OEL deal is already showing why that was such a rough trade there. So talk to me a little bit about what you think about the Canucks and where you see them going.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of it just hinges on Petey, Elias Pettersson, and obviously Besser coming back with his dad passing away. Obviously, that was a big deal. And they added Mikheyev, they added Lazar, and they added a St. Louis Blue Dakota Joshua. I'm actually kind of curious. I know a lot of people don't know who he is, but I'm kind of curious to see how he does there just because he's going to be playing now consistently and whatnot. But Mikheyev, a lot of Leafs fans I know were kind of upset about losing him somewhat because he's just a great skater and whatnot. But one of those things where you pay all those guys up top, you're going to lose those, you know, those third and fourth liners. You know what I mean? You kind of have to just keep a revolving door. I don't know. I think a lot of it just honestly, it just Pettersson and Besser. And like the JT Miller thing's going to hang over everyone's head this year too, with him being, I mean, that's something where you're going to see, I mean, crap, at this rate, who knows? He could get traded before training camp. You never know. it's one of those things where it's going to be, you know, I think they're going to see how they do. And if they do good, they're going to hold on to him as like their own little rental.
I was about to say that. I think that he's their trade deadline acquisition. He had a whole,
well, you saw how good they were when Boudreaux came in too. They were good when Boudreaux came in. Mm-hmm. They started scoring. That guy just wins. Bruce Boudreaux is so just a winner. He didn't win the cup or anything yet, but like everywhere he goes, they just score and they turned it around. And I don't know. I'm curious. And Demko's a stud. Like, he really
one
is.
One of the best goaltenders in the league, I think. I agree. I think that's, it's a lot of just their top-end guys performing. So, like, as long as, like, man, remember when Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar were, like, attached to the hip, and now it's, like, dude, not even, like, you know, that trajectory went, like, they were like this, and now one's like that, and the other one's just kind of, but Pettersson fell off there. If I'd love to hear in the comment section just, like, what Vancouver Canucks fans thought about what happened with Pettersson, but their top six looks like, just looking at their top six in terms of like cap hits and things like that, Pettersson, Besser, Horvat, Miller, Garland, and then one of Mikheyev or Podkolzin is a solid top six. And then OEL, he is not worth his money. He is still a very talented defenseman. Quinn Hughes, Myers, Dermott, like that's not a bad top four either. And you have Demko and Net. Like this is the team, I think, in the Pacific Division outside of Vegas that's super underperformed, but it's not like they missed the playoffs by that much. Like, there was a big jump between 6 and 5 between San Jose and Vancouver, almost 20 points. So I could see Vancouver. I don't see them making it in the top three. We'll talk about the top three in a little bit, and I think that one team is going to fall out that was there last year, but I could see them making a wild card spot, I think.
Yeah, the thing with them is, like, I don't know. The weird thing about it is I think they – I don't know. It's tough to say. Like, I could see, like, them and, like, L.A., like, flip-flop.
Yeah.
But then again, like, Vegas was the one – before we – obviously we're going to go through all the teams, but I think it'll be, like, Vegas, Edmonton, and Calgary ultimately. Same. But like, I could see, like, L.A. taking a step back this year too. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying, like, they were – I feel like they had like a great year last year, but it like Jonathan Quick also like, you know, that kind of thing. But I don't know, Vancouver, like I said, a lot of it's just Besser and Pettersson getting back to like what they were, I guess.
I agree. I think that's what it hinges on. Cause if they can't, that's awfully tough for them. But yeah, the JT Miller thing is going to be tough. I remember there was like, I think the draft, everyone's just waiting for it. I remember when the trade got announced with like Montreal, like in Chicago, like thought that Miller might've been involved in that. But if Besser and all of those guys can get back.
And when I say Pettersson too isn't back to like what he was, I understand he put up like most points he ever, but I just mean like he was like being like talked about like is like the next, you know, whatever. And he kind of just like, if you remember the beginning of last year, because he came in, I think it wasn't last year he came into camp a little bit late with like Quinn Hughes or whatever.
Yeah,
or was it the year before?
So I believe.
But it's like it took them a while to get going. I don't know. I just think like kind of like what you said with Makar and Hughes, like there's a trajectory and they were going like this and I feel like they kind of just flatlined a little bit, but that's not a big deal. I mean, they're young kids. So
number four in the Pacific Division last year was the Vegas Golden Knights. Now, obviously I always liked Vegas because of how fun they were that first year. You talked about it. I obviously ended up hating them because the Sharks and Vegas rivalry is no longer really a thing. In the sense, because the biggest parts of it are now gone. Reeves and Kane are now not on the Sharks and the Knights. But and the other issue is that Vegas has literally gotten rid of every single player that was in that rivalry. So in the span of 5 years, they had a masterclass of an expansion draft. Like I don't think we'll ever see a team of professional sports do that again in our lifetime. And they have now made it where they have tried to be the New York Rangers of the West, where they just go out after any big fish every year, and it seems like they have no loyalty to their players, and that has come out in whether it be the Marc-Andre Fleury thing with the stab in the back. Like, you know what I mean? I'm trying to think of...
Look at what just happened the other day. Paul Stastny, from what I heard, got offered more money by Vegas, and he lives in Vegas. He's Alex Petrangelo's next door neighbor. I have inside info.
We're gonna talk about Petro too, because you skate with Petro. So
I know, I might have to put on my Vegas gloves for this segment. But no, so Petro told me he lives next door, and they thought they were getting him back. And I texted Petro the other day, and I said, why did he go to Carolina if he lives in Vegas? He skates in Vegas.
Yep.
He likes Vegas to the point. I literally think it. I mean, what else would it be besides you're pissed off that you got stabbed in the back too? Now, was his as big as a deal as Fleury's? No, but it's still just like kind of what you go to. Nate Schmidt, that kind of thing.
I was about to say, Nate Schmidt was like one, because I remember there was a lot of like fan athletic favorite reports and fan favorite and about how they that was the year when they brought in Petro and they just had to get rid of somebody. And it was just like, man, it's just a tough look. And they've gone after all of the big fish. And they, again, if you would have said in 5 years that they would run out Mark Stone, Jack Eichel, and Alex Pietrangelo, like, you've got to be high. But now that it's happened, it's like, man, they don't have the juice the same as what they at they had. And now
we'll see this year, though. I want to see this year. This is a big year. This is the year that, like, finally everyone can, if they stink, or not stink, but if they don't make it this year,
playoffs,
then people can crap all over them. I get it. My thing with them is, like what you just said, if you could bring in Eichel, Stone, Petro, who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah.
And, like, people are like, well, they're giving away Patch Ready for free. Well, listen, when those guys have cap spaces that are 8.8 plus million, you have to make room, and no one else is going to take on your other contracts. I mean, like, I understand, like, what people say. Like, I get the goofiness of their asset management, but when you're bringing in two at least superstars, I mean, you got to make room. I mean, you have to. And I don't know. I understand, like, I don't know why people always – pro sports fans, or fans in general, they always get upset about what everyone else does with their money. What do you care what Bill Foley does with his money?
Yeah,
it's his money. If he wants to look like an idiot, like, and he can do whatever he wants, the guy's like one of the richest owners in the NHL. Like, he doesn't care. Like you said, they're the New York Rangers of the West. I think it's fun. I think it makes hockey more fun.
I think that after a certain point of making just... They could do no wrong in, like, the first 2 years. Like, they just legitimately could do no wrong. However, their trades, they've lost... Other than the Mark Stone trade, they have lost, and we'll see about Eichel. I think both of those you would make, but man, the one to lose Suzuki to Montreal, that looks like it might be one of the worst of the last like 3 or 4 years, 5 years in the NHL. Because if you imagine that they just would have stood pat and had Nick Suzuki, like that would have been that would have been phenomenal for them. Because I think center depth, I mean, Chandler Stephenson was absolutely incredible. But I don't think anyone...
He's awesome.
Yeah, I don't think anyone projected him to do what he did. He just kind of, you know, was like, all right, we need something here. We don't have Eichel. Like, you know what
Such
I mean?
Such a
like,
good skater.
Yeah, like, I think that losing Leonard, like, what do you think about that? Like,
that's the deal where, like, Suzuki, like, it hurts, Reimer but, like, you have Eichel. You have Eichel, right? So it's like, there's your first line center, or, like, who would you rather have, Suzuki or Eichel? That's going to be the argument in my book. I understand the trade, what you're saying. But Pacioretty, I'll be honest, when Pacioretty was healthy, he scored a lot of goals for him. He did, like, when he was healthy. And the thing that the one move that just I'll never understand was the Fleury one. I'll never understand it. Fan favorite. You go to a Vegas game in Vegas, it's Fleury jerseys everywhere. They love the guy. He would have retired there. And he's making like $3.5 million now, which is less than Leonard. It was something with your boy Pete DeBoer. I say your boy because he was a former Sharks coach. Something with him not liking Fleury and the way he played, I heard they didn't like how aggressive he was, and kind of sometimes he'll overslide and he'll come out of the crease. Mike McKenna told me that, who was one of Vegas's announcers, and he lives in St. Louis now. But I don't know. I never understood the obsession with Leonard. Don't get me wrong, he came in, he played good, but, like, I'm gonna be honest, like, Logan Thompson looked pretty good with them. They're a good hockey team. Yeah. It's not like you need, you know, Vezina caliber goaltending. It's just. But Fleury, I didn't understand that. That was the one move I'll never understand from a PR perspective and on ice perspective. I don't know.
I think that they just got caught trying to be too cute with the future and the present at the same time, and they just got kind of stuck.
Who would know Fleury would win the Vezina when he was like 37?
Unbelievable, man. That was a wild experience. So we're both in agreement they're gonna make the playoffs.
I think they'll make the playoffs. Yeah. For sure.
Do you think they'll win the division or division spot? Where do you think they'll finish in the Pacific?
I think they're gonna win the division. I'm gonna go high.
I'm not gonna lie. Like, I've watched enough Vegas cook my Sharks, dude. The COVID year, they literally went 8-0 against them. So, like, dude, like,
new coach with Bruce Cassidy too. I mean, you bring in let's be honest, dude. Like, Pete DeBoer, he gets a lot out of him.
He's
in the
great
beginning,
in the first year. He'll go to the cup in the first year, and then it's all downhill. Yeah. It's all downhill.
And then I think Cassidy, like, I think it's just a fresh start. I know when we get to Boston, we'll have to talk about that, because obviously you had some guys come back out of nowhere. Krejci, just, you know, he decided he want to take a year off and get away from Bruce, and then he came back. So, but yeah, I think Vegas, I'm going to say they're going to win the division. That's my hot take. You know, hate me on it all you want, but right now everyone likes to poop on them right now, but we'll see.
I think they are definitely in the right. It's all going to depend on how Logan Thompson plays, or if they go. I'm stunned that Reimer is, I don't know if it's because it's Vegas, but like I said, the Sharks have three signed goaltenders, and Reimer would be a perfect fit. Again, like the way that he's played, all you need is just good enough in Vegas. Your team is fine. You don't need someone to like Demko to carry. So I'd be stunned if they don't go out and get someone already. So moving on to LA, my least favorite team in the NHL. And I remember the beginning of last season, I said when it came to LA that they are either going to finish near the bottom, near where Seattle was in the Pacific Division, or all of their prospects would hit and they'd make the playoffs, wild card spot. Well, neither happened because their prospects did not hit, and they somehow still made the playoffs. That Philip Deneau signing was pretty incredible for them. Unreal. to go with Anze Kopitar, too. It's probably the best defensive center setup that it's in the league in terms of top two defensemen or top two centermen. But man, they have one of the best prospect pools. It's fallen quite a bit over the last year, but they have a lot of guys coming that'll be extremely exciting. Like Byfield didn't do much last year.
I think one of them will get traded eventually too, because they have, because bringing in like Fiala, which is like their their offseason move, and then they have Arvidsson, they have like all these guys, but like where's the room for guys like, you know, Kaliev, Kupari, Velarde, and then you got Turcotte that everyone forgets about still too. It's like I feel like that'll be a trade piece to bring in a defenseman eventually, because like Doughty's not getting any younger, and that's their weakness, is their back end.
I agree. And Doughty, God, he definitely turned back the clock a little bit last year.
Oh yeah.
He was right up there with Carlson in terms of the worst contracts in the NHL. Last season, he did a lot to, at least he returned his value last year. However, he's got five more years at $11 million, and I think that the realistic expectation for Doughty is somewhere in the middle. Like last year won't happen again, but it won't be as bottomed out as everyone thinks. I agree. Like, they don't have a lot of room, and I think the other thing is they overachieved it last year, and yes. Now there's pressure because like I said, none of their prospects really hit. Byfield had 10 points in 40 games. Like, he did not take over. And again, Gabe Velarde, he's been hurt a lot since he's been drafted. And Kupari and Kaliev were both exciting, but haven't done much. It's like they have, on paper, the best prospects, but now it's like, now this is the season for them to, like, do something, and they might not. Right. They might, you know, so we'll have to wait and see. But I'm curious to see... Brant Clark, he was someone I was never impressed with when I watched him play the Ice Dogs. I don't know what it was. Just he did not seem to be a great skater. I don't know. Clearly still one of the best defensive prospects in the NHL. But we'll wait and see how he plays. But yeah, their back end is awfully suspect. I believe Sean Durzi still needs to be signed. He's been really, really good.
And Mikey Anderson, who actually he impressed me a lot in the playoffs. He was real solid against the Oilers. Their back end is like their weak link, I would feel like. And it's not like it's god awful by any means. It's just very inexperienced, I feel like. You know what I mean? Like Doughty and Edler, like they re-signed Edler to that cheap deal, but that's about it in terms of experience. But I think they're gonna be, I don't know. What do you think? You think they make the playoffs?
I think they miss. Yeah, last year they overachieved. I think that Kopitar and Deneau make up for their defensive liability.
And Jonathan Quick having a good year. I know you don't love him, but like he had a pretty good year.
I know. It's so frustrating. He is, again, Sharks aside, he was the best playoff goaltender for a stretch of 4 years. I'll never take that away from him. Statistically, he's been one of the worst goaltenders. In the last 4 years, prior to last year, the four seasons before, he was worse than Martin Jones over qualified goaltenders over a four-year stretch. Put that in perspective, because how you view Martin Jones, that's what Jonathan Quick was. So, but he is still has the potential to be a good goaltender, and last year he proved it. I think Vegas is just going to be so much better than last year, and I could see Vancouver push LA, but their prospects need to do something, and if they don't, I don't know. Next up, we'll do Edmonton. So man, it's like the Los Angeles. I mean, I guess it's slightly better than the LA Angels of hockey, but they finally go to the conference, the quietest conference final appearance, probably because they were out within a weekend. But the Edmonton Oilers, talk to me what you think about the Oilers this year.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Is it weird to say they're a lot of the same? I mean, I guess it, but I mean, I know they're bringing in, the big thing is they're bringing in Jack Campbell. Okay, so is Jack Campbell going to be anything close to what he does, you know, pre-All-Star break, or is he going to be, you know, what we saw later in the year? I think Jack Campbell is the real deal in terms of, like, I think he's an NHL starting goalie for sure. Now, the question is, like, what is he going to give them? Is he going to give them, you know, better than what Mike Smith did? I don't think he's going to let in the back-breaking, deflating goals that Mike Smith was letting in. But I think, yeah, I mean, I definitely think they improved in net, though, for sure. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, they score plenty of goals, but I still think their defense stinks.
Yeah.
Like, their defenseman.
Their defense is, I think that the losing Oscar Klefbom potentially for, like, ever was, like, a gigantic, like, issue. Like, I think that had the Klefbom stayed healthy and been able to play, their defense looks far better. Because I don't, yeah, like, Jack Campbell, man, what? There is something about playing for the Leafs that I don't think any other fan base will understand in all of sports. Like, it's a lot like playing for the Dallas Cowboys in football. Like, there's a reason why in the playoffs those teams just seem to not click, and Jack Campbell needed to make all of the saves, at, like, literally every single save, because the second that a goal goes in, that entire Toronto team would just absolutely sink. However, I don't think there's any sink in Connor McDavid. Like,
no.
What he did in the playoffs is Gretzky-esque. Like, it was something that we just don't see ever in the last 25 years. Like, I remember, dude, that LA series, it was during my subathon, and I watched every game at night, like on stream we were watching, and had they not had Mike Smith in net, let's say they had Jack Campbell, I honestly think that they probably go six games with Colorado, and maybe that's not saying much, but I think that, you know, maybe you can't fault Mike Smith in the Colorado series, but you can absolutely fault him in the LA series. Like, he literally made them play three more games than they needed to. And
that all tacks on to your, like, your run.
That's what I'm
like,
saying.
When we played you guys in 2016, the Blues, we were dead by the time we got to you guys, because we had to go deep with Chicago and Dallas. And it's like, it adds on, man. Like, it's a lot of hits on the defensemen. It's a lot of, you know, just wear and tear. And by the way, like, let's talk about this. Dreisaitl did it on one foot. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't even healthy. I mean, he was a stud.
It's crazy. Like, what Connor did in the LA series was like what LeBron James does. Like, which you don't see in hockey. Like, you don't see the ability for one player to hop on the ice, get the puck, and just at will do whatever he wants. Like, that hasn't been, even Crosby at his highest level, he would go behind the net and force, like, the play against Ottawa. I think, like, that's, like, one of my favorite sequences ever in hockey, where he just goes back and forth nine different times because he just has the strongest core on the planet. And that's something that's a different skill set that Crosby has when you compare him to McDavid. McDavid would just go everywhere he wants with the puck. And I think that with Jack Campbell in net, I think he's good enough. And I don't think he has the pressure that you have. I can't imagine being a goaltender. Look what happens when you leave Toronto as a goaltender. Freddie Anderson just won the Jennings Trophy for the lowest goals against in the league. Like, the pressure on a goaltender, you are run out of town as a player if in Toronto on any given night. You are either an MVP Hall of Famer or you are a cast-off. They don't want you anymore. And it's game by game. And that's just got to be brutal to think about, because you got to realize, like, these guys go to work and they have to go home, and it's like, ugh, like, you know what I mean? Like, and a goaltender, you've been a goalie your whole life. Like, when you let in a goal, your next shot, you're like, oh my God, dude, I can't let in another. Like, I don't know how guys could stand being a goaltender in Toronto.
You have to have a extremely strong mental game. That's why I always said, like, if Binner didn't play in St. Louis and he's from Toronto, he'd be the perfect goalie in Toronto, because nothing phases Binner. Yeah, and he's from there.
Yeah.
He's like, whatever. all right, I'll go hang out with Drake or something. Like, he doesn't care. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. But yeah, I agree. I think Jack's going to do good there. He's still a lot of pressure just in Canadian market in general, yeah. But I think he knows what he's getting into because he's like, he's dealt with the toughest market you could probably deal with, yeah. Other than like, I guess that in Montreal probably. So it's like, you know, it's, but yeah, I think, like I said, I think they'll be second or third in the division.
I see where you're going. Then I know what we think of the next one then. I think Edmonton, if Vegas does not win the division, I think Edmonton does. I think,
yeah, right.
As long as Jack Campbell is not an AHL goaltender, but it can't be worse than Mike Smith. Like, no. There's probably a lot of Oilers fans that are like, oh, he's not, like, you know what I mean? Smith, like, was fine. It's like, bro, I don't know if I mean, I was Martin Jones was a Shark. So, like, I know what it's like to have a bad goal let up and watch your team just be like, dude, McDavid was literally like, we just need a save. Like, in his pressers was like, you score four, you need to win. Like, that, without saying it, like, he was like, bro, make a save. Like, that's it. And yep. I think Jack Campbell does that. So I think that if Vegas does not win the division, I think Edmonton does. Which leads us our last team of the Pacific Division, the Calgary Flames. And I think that you really like Calgary, who had, man, this has got to be one of the craziest off seasons in the history of the NHL.
Coolest offseason ever, yeah, too.
Because
that's a word.
They were absolutely, like, firing squad was lined up to just put Calgary out to pasture. And what they were able to do is nothing short of a miracle because they had no leverage. They lost Goudreau, and they lost Goudreau at the final minute, meaning that they thought they had him. And Goudreau was like, nope, I don't want to be in Calgary. I'd rather be closer to home. And went to Columbus, which stunned everyone. I remember I was at baseball, and I remember just checking in between innings, and I'm like, dude, he's a Blue Jacket. What in the world?
Dude, I heard about it that morning, and they were like, Columbus. I'm like, no way. Why would he go to Columbus? And then, like, I remember I kept texting Chris Johnson, and I'm like, where do you think he's really going? And he kept sending me the stupid CBJ cannon going off the gift. And I'm like, there's no way. And then, like, an hour later, he's in Columbus. And I'm like, what in the world? And then, like, I don't know. You kind of, like, listen to it as time's gone on. And it makes a lot of sense from, like, what he said. Everything that he has said. And just one of the guys I know, he used to play with him in high school. Like, and he knows him personally. Like, everything kind of adds together now. Now it makes a ton more sense. I think they made out about as good as you could. Because, yes, Kadri and Huberdeau, they brought them in. They're obviously older than Tkachuk. But Gaudreau and Tkachuk were never staying there.
Yeah.
So, yes, you're going to pay a little bit more for those two in Huberdeau and Kadri. They're older. You're going to have to overpay to keep them long term. But in terms of longevity, I mean, I think they have a better team than they had last year.
That's the thing. Like, that's the thing.
I mean, I really do.
They lost 2/3 of the best line in hockey last year, which is, you know, like, astounding. And somehow, you know, Mackenzie Weegar is one of the best defensemen in the NHL.
And everyone forgets about that in the deal.
Yeah, like, everyone, they literally do. Yeah, and, you know, getting Huberdeau, again, older, you're right. I think that this makes the window much shorter, but it is definitely open. And Markstrom has been one of the best goaltenders since coming to Calgary. The Monahan deal, interest. It's crazy that if you would have said, like, 2 years ago, that Goudreau, Monahan, and Tkachuk were all gone, and Calgary's still a very, very good hockey team. Like, there's no other team that's done that. Like, no other team has done that. That's had to deal with it. And somehow, like, their decor is nasty. So, adding Uyghur this next year, it's going to get awfully tough probably in, like, 2 to 3 years.
But Lucic just coming off the books this year.
That's true.
2 years, Backlund's off the books. I mean, so it's like they kind of have it plotted. Like, I mean, they could make a charge at somebody in a few years, too. I mean, like, the way their money, they don't really have, like, a guy in the back end that's making $7+ million. You know what I mean? And, like, we'll see what Uyghur gets. I think he'll get, like, $6, probably, if I had to guess. That's what I'm just going to ballpark it, like, $6 million if he has another good year. But yeah, like in Elias Lindholm, like what a steal at $4.8 million. That guy's a stud.
That's nuts, man. Yeah, absolutely. Dude, that Elias Lindholm and Hanifin trade, like
Adam Fox too. Remember,
bro? Like that. Yeah, like
another American that was not playing in Calgary.
No, yeah, and that's something that's got to be
or Carolina or Carolina too. Yeah. Like, let's be honest.
That's another thing, especially with like the landscape of I don't want to talk politics, but like. Yeah. The way that COVID is handled in Canada is starting to impact like athletes. Like, you're going
to
see
a lot. I think there was something to it. I think there was with Goodrow, because you're going to have a kid for the first time and you don't know. Like I don't know your guys' stuff up there, but I mean, there's, you know, if they have another lockdown or something, like, who knows? Like, we don't know what's going to happen in the winter. And like, if you have your first kid and it's like, your parents can't even come visit you because like they closed down this or whatever, it's like, I get it. Like, and you don't want to. You know, everyone's got to deal with it differently.
It's curious to see specifically Americans in Canadian markets. And I think that next year we're going to get to see it.
Well, you came down here during COVID at some cities and it was like the Wild West. Like, nothing ever happened. You know what I mean? And then some cities you couldn't even leave your house. So
absolutely.
It was like,
I think that the drastic differences, you know, were pretty crazy. And I think that a lot of people forget that like athletes are like just people. Like, after the game is done, they literally just have to go be humans. And, you know,
they got to go to the grocery store too. They got to go to,
I mean, again, just like bring up the Sharks again. Like, there was a time where Doug Wilson literally had to come out and say, we want people that want to win with the Sharks, not that want to live here. And I've been to Calgary. I think it's a really fun city. Just like Winnipeg, I don't think there's a lot of guys in the NHL that say, I want to go live in Winnipeg and Calgary and Edmonton. You know, as opposed to some of the other cities. And
I know the Swedes like it there because it's the most comparable kind of thing to Sweden.
Yeah, exactly.
In Vancouver, like the weather with Banff and all that stuff. Like, so that's,
it's,
you know, they got a little Swedish core
up
there. It is really nice. Like, there's a lot of places that are cool.
But man, like, it seems like it's just awfully tough. And again, Americans in, talk to me real quick. How was he not a St. Louis? You were literally skating with him.
I know, and I skated him the week after he came back from Florida too. He I've always heard this. The Tkachuks, they are businessmen, and their dads taught them best. And Brady and Matthew, like, they're not gonna give, like, all the Blues fans, oh, he's gonna come back here and all this stuff. Like, okay, first off, we never give out no movement clauses. Why would he come back here? Like, we don't, like, there's no guarantee of a no movement clause, and he's gonna want that. And he wanted, dude, his deal in Florida was unbelievable. He has like $68 million in like signing bonus money.
Yeah, like, it's like all up front too. Like, it's nuts.
Yeah, like, why would, and he gets to live on the beach. He could come back here in St. Louis when he's 33, 34 years old, and then, you know, retire or play out the rest of his, you know, career here. And that way he can check off the list, I played in St. Louis. Like, but for right now, like, I don't blame him. Like, I mean, and I love the Blues, but it's like, you know, that was a great, great deal for him in Florida. I think Florida, that was another good move for Florida. Like, I think both teams did good.
It's
in
crazy
that
that is a good trade for both teams, given the sense that it was like two of their best.
Because Hubert wasn't going back to Florida, probably. They wouldn't have been able to clear money because of Bobrovsky's full contract. It's like,
dude,
that literally screwed them from signing Uyghur and Huberto, because they would have had to do like serious surgery to make it all work.
It's what's tough is that they went out and got Knight too that same year. It's like, I mean, we'll talk about Florida when we do the Atlantic Division, but what do we think? What do you think of Calgary this year, and where do you think they'll finish?
Second or third? I don't know which spot. I think it'll be the battle of Alberta in the standings. It'll be them two kind of going back. And, I mean, like you said, I mean, who knows? It's going to take a while. It's a lot of new guys gelling together. So,
which very rarely works in hockey, by the way. I mean, we'll talk about Ottawa in a little bit, because I think Ottawa is like the new hotness. But it very rarely did when, like, you know, you get that many new guys in hockey, does it work out? I think that Calgary is not as good as Edmonton this year. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like, I think that I keep forgetting the Uyghur thing. Like, their defense is so much better than Edmonton's.
Yeah, it really is.
Man, if Leonard was Vegas' starting goaltender, I don't think this would be a question.
Yeah.
No, I still think Vegas wins the division. I think Calgary and Edmonton finish 2 and 3. And then I think Vancouver is the one that potentially, I don't think four teams make it out of the Pacific this year, but I think that Vancouver would be the one that can kind of sneak in. But yeah, guys, let us know in the comment section. Bro, that was fun. That was a fun hour of talking actual
hockey. Dude, when we get me and you talking hockey, we could go 5 hours. We do this in Discord every day for anybody that doesn't know. And we just sit here and we talk about business, talk about sports. It's just, and then it's like, oh, it's already noon. All right, time to go eat lunch. I got to go stream. It's, you know, it's every day, so. Well, this was fun. We'll do it again for sure.
Absolutely. So, guys, yeah, the plan is we're going to test this out, see how you guys enjoy it. We're going to do a division preview for every division, so this isn't a one-off with my man Padre while Kesso is away. Kesso's going to hop on and talk the real hockey with us too, but obviously he's got a lot to deal with right now with the birth of his daughter. So, yeah, let us know in the comment section if you're watching on YouTube. Let us know down below what you thought and your thoughts on our takes. Were we completely wrong or were we absolutely right? I think that we're right now. All right. But, yeah, guys, it's been cool, and we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.